97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
On the topic of Iran, the president said this yesterday.
Took out all of the new equipment that they tried to build along the Strait of Hormuz. Some defensive, some offensive. We're taking out a lot of ships. They can't see it because they have no radar because we blew it up. And we blew up much more than their radar last night. It was a very heavy attack last night. And we're prepared to do another one anytime we want.
Now, we were talking about this, Charles Lipson and I, a few minutes ago, talking about, you know, what will the Iranian people do? Will some regime change be organic from within? I think that's the hope. It has been the hope. Here's what he says about that.
As of 3 months ago, they had 52,000 protesters were killed. Can you imagine this, fellow? And now I hear the numbers probably 20, 25,000 more. They have close to 65,000 protesters killed. The only answer is that they're being shot. The regime is getting weaker and weaker by the day. And at some point, they're not going to be able to shoot so easily because I think the people aren't going to take it.
Yeah, Jacob Olodort is back with us, Chief Research Officer, Director of the American Security at the America First Policy Institute. Jacob, how are you? Welcome back this afternoon. Glad to have you.
Mark, thanks so much for having me. Always a privilege to join you.
We know. I think we have pretty good indication here that the economy in Iran is collapsing. People are having, you know, a tough time. You can't buy maybe the food and the fuel that you need. Prices have gone way up. Even the armed forces can't be paid, we're hearing, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean political collapse and the regime is hanging on here. So when it comes to the next steps in this particular war, what do you expect? Because it seems, and the president was even asked this directly yesterday, is the CIA involved with, you know, arming some of the dissidents? And he's not going to tell people that. I think there's a hope that that's happening right now. But again, that's more of a longer term proposition. It doesn't seem like the economic sanctions and the pressure are leading to the results in the short term that we're interested in. But I want your take on that.
Well, look, obviously, this is not something that's going to happen overnight, nor should it. This is a regime that's created redundancies, that's created that's really designed to suppress any type of internal opposition. And in fact, the new recruits into the political leadership there are precisely from those elements in their security state and elsewhere that have that. But it also means they have far less acumen about doing anything else, which means they don't know how to govern. They don't know how to manage the economy, much less to figure out their response to the attacks that they're facing now. So I think, you know, you're not seeing a different country, perhaps, in the way that most people might think about it overnight, but I don't think that was the expectation all along either. I mean, this is a generational change, and this is really ending 5 decades of terror that has been designed by this regime.
So, and I agree with that, by the way, and I hope that that's where we're heading. But do you think that in the end, what happens here, because we don't know how this all finishes up and how stubborn they might be and who takes over, and, you know, it's very confusing. But if you don't have a situation where, and my previous guest kind of referred to it as kinetic action, where you have riots and bullets from rebel groups or resistance from, you know, ordinary citizens and a regime that is unable to suppress the domestic opponents. I think we all kind of hope that something like that happens so we don't have boots on the ground. Is that, in your view, still a realistic possibility moving forward?
Well, look, I mean, what it looks like will depend, right? I mean, that's kind of what it looks like in the movies. And, you know, obviously, there have been many historical events where that's taken place in that manner. But, you know, this is a very different type of regime. It's a huge country. And it's created, again, a lot of internal elements to suppress repression, not to mention still contingencies, very small ones, albeit proportionally, of supporters. And so, and it has an external terror proxy network. So this is kind of unlike any other change in regime or any other maybe future of governance that we've seen in other in history. And so I think but also that's not really the U.S. priority here at the end of the day. The U.S. objective is to get it to a weak enough state where it cannot harm the American people and its own people. And so that, I think, is, as you've alluded to at the top, is a long ways there,
but,
that direction.
But here's one of the difficulties, Jacob, that I have. If you go back, it seemed very clear that Trump didn't want, even though he kind of started talking about, you know, bombing the bridges and the water plants and stuff like that, he didn't want to affect the, you know, the people of Iran that are just victims of themselves of this regime. But he also was hoping for a deal, and there seemingly were back channels that were working. You don't know if you're talking to the right people, but there was always hope for a deal. I heard the president say yesterday that, you know, there's no deal, right? I think he pretty much admitted we're not going to get a deal here. He believes the RCG is controlling the government. They don't want a deal. So why would we even try to get a deal at this point? I mean, that's not going to happen. Is that realistic at all?
Well, I, of course, have no unique visibility. I don't speak for the president and his team. But, you know, he's always also said, in my understanding, that it's either a deal, we do it the diplomatic way as an outcome, or militarily.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it could have also just been a diplomatic tool to encourage a deal, again, a good deal. It has to be the right deal that makes sense to the American people. We had the MOU. That was not the final deal. That was to set the parameters for establishing that. Clearly, Iran was the one who violated those parameters, as it has been doing, by cutting off international traffic through this waterway, which is, we've talked about, a core tenet of international relations. And so so I think we are where we are because of Iran's actions, but I think we're in a much better place consistently than we have been for months. And so we're getting, the prices have stabilized in a record number of time. The traffic is moving through the waterway, 10 million barrels a day, I've read. So, while Iran, while pressure is on the regime, and so everything seems to be stabilized and actually, as good as we can be as far as global effects while we're trying to use military action to stop a threat.
It's a little weird to me that, when all this started, we were given the videos of what was getting, blowed up and all that stuff. And I know that we're targeting, facilities or whatever maybe the targets are, but we're not seeing that visual. I'm not saying that they're lying about any of this. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying we don't see that visual evidence. And I don't know that that helps with, promoting the case for this war.
Well, the case the president made, and I think the case is one that the American people understand as far as the longest standing threat. I think it's nature of news to report things that are, well, newsworthy. And unfortunately, when you succeed, much like the first month after Operation Epic Fury, there was little talk of how historic, how truly important that military operation was. But that's the nature, I think, sometimes of these reporting, is that you talk about the non-successes rather than successes.
Well, yeah, that does happen. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Some of this is through the filter of the legacy media, and I, more than anyone else, I understand that. Jacob, thanks for coming on. Always great. I hope you have some nice Labor Day weekend plans. Enjoy yourself. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Get more at 971talk.com.